friends! Welcome to the BJ Experience with Boo Boo
and JoJo. Mwah.
Everything they do, we do it. Everything they do, we do it.
So for this episode, we're going to be talking about childhood traumas. And with childhood traumas, we mean things that we may have gone through growing up, and just generally things that people go through in most cases growing up that may affect you in terms of how you view life, your confidence, if you don't manage to go through them. Just discussing them and seeing how we can deal with them, you know, because childhood traumas is actually a thing that happens. And yeah, so that's basically it. This is a serious, sort of a serious episode, but yes. Right, you understand?
Correct. Okay. One thing that shapes you as an adult is your inner child. So people tend to forget that everything that you've gone through as a child really affects who you are as an adult.
Yeah.
And most of the issues that you have, whether it's your personality, whether it's how you think, whether it's your belief system, it's that inner child.
Inner child, yeah. Yeah.
So we can start with failure and shame in terms of just failing in general.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was such an issue in terms of my grades. It was like a really big issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn in terms of grades that really doesn't define who you are.
Okay.
Because that time I remember I got, I think a 64 in math. I will not forget that grade. So I was so upset and I was shamed in such a manner that I had to go into, like I went into the kitchen. Sorry, not into the kitchen, into my mom's bedroom, and I entered the cupboard just to cry.
Oh,
so I entered the cupboard to cry. And because I was not supposed to show why you crying, you failed.
Yeah. Oh no.
So when you're done, I think my uncle came to pick me and was just like, "Nah, you're not a failure."
Yeah.
You were like.
So who was calling you?
Who else?
Mom.
Yeah.
Oh no. Like yeah. For you, just a softy kid, Dama, she was like very, very harsh.
Grades was such a thing. So even like for me to just. Sometimes I forced the failure just to know how that feels,
mm-hmm.
but it's always been a thing. Like low key, even till now, when it comes to grades, it's
yeah.
still been a thing.
It's still been
that,
a thing.
That's what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that really. I'm not saying guys don't read, don't work hard, but.
Yeah.
Every time I was up there, it was a normal, so there was no congratulations.
Oh.
But the one time you slip, and by slip, I don't mean even position-wise. So position-wise, grade-wise, anytime you slip, you fucked up.
Yeah.
You're not a normal, perfect,
yeah.
whatever kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also now and then, not knowing how to fail.
Because
then if you've kept it like that, you just fall once you fail in anything.
Yeah.
So at some point in time, I feel like I, on purpose, like decided, you know what, fuck it. These grades are not going to define who I am. So
yeah.
I now start also building on my personality.
Because
I feel like also growing up, I built my personality on the fact that I'm smart.
Mm.
So some of my friends, I was like, I've not learned this, you've not tried this. So for me, I was thinking you're stupid.
Yeah.
So I was like, at some point for myself, I think psychologically, I was like, yo, why am I focusing so much on this shit? Like, which was also an issue that we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But, I had to learn how to build that personality. What else do I have apart from this one?
Yeah.
Mm.
I think that has a lot to do with parenting also. Because now you see not everyone is going to be an academic. And
no, but I was. That's the thing. I was. Like, that's fine. It's just that you cannot slip up.
Yeah.
Your position and you're great.
But parents need to also be understanding, like, things happen. Like,
mm-hmm.
maybe even the approach once you failed should have been more calm. I can give my parents that. Me, I've never gone through that feeling of, hey, if you fail, it will be an issue at home, your parents will scold you. No, it's never been that tough.
Really?
Imagine, no, I've never gone through that in that aspect. No. I can give them that. I think I can give them that.
Mm.
What I can talk about is bullying. I went through bullying.
From your
in
as a
not
child.
From my parents or my family. Yes, as a child in primary.
You?
Yes.
Bobby, why did you tell me? I don't
God,
I got you.
Those days, you know, we were young. We were not even close.
Mm.
My primary school days. So two things. I went through bullying because I used to be fat. Like, I used to be a fat kid.
Faster than me.
Oh, even family. I got through bullying. Yeah, I was fat. I was kind of no, because even the skirt I was wearing in class 4, I could wear it in form 1. So, like,
oh.
I was big, and I was, you know, amongst my peers, like, I was bigger, so sometimes I would, for my weight, I would go through it, especially with family, when we went to Shags, you know, for Christmas Day. Then, one of my aunties, Tata, was like, hey, my nona, unakula nini? And then, you know, I'm such a child, I'm like, I remember there's a time when I was so intentional about losing weight, like, I could starve myself, my mom even got so worried. I can't remember at what stage in my life that was, but I think it was now that one came in high school. Like, I really wanted to, like, slim by force because it had already been putting me, like, there's something wrong. Why are you this big? Why, like, what's wrong? The other one was bed wetting. Me, I wet my bed until I was class 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I joined boarding.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined boarding, I think, in class 6.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like, it was an issue. Like, I used to even pray about it. I'm like, God, I need to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on? And I'm trying so hard not to fall so much into my sleep so that I can hear myself, but it wasn't working. So, like, even when I went to boarding, sometimes, there's one time I remember I was, because see, when you watch your bed, you have to go hang your mattress
yes.
or air it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this guy who had a crush on, and then he just saw me having my. I felt so embarrassed. I was just like, why did my parents bring me to boarding? I have this problem. And then, you know, class 7, near class 8, I'm like, I'll go to high school. I'm still wetting my bed. What's going to happen? And I'm telling you, the day I stopped, I was just like, God, thank you for saving me from this shame.
You don't realize there's something that's straight to you, Jimmy. Like, now because of that, I don't know if you've realized it now, but because of that and being intentional and everything, that's why for you, weight is a thing.
Yeah, weight is a thing. Weight is a thing for me because it's still, like, something I went through. Imagine. Yeah.
Hectic.
Yes.
My other one is being forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Could it sound deep?
Neglect. I have it also. Neglect.
Being forgotten. And mine isn't even to do with my parents. Mine is to do with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Why I'm... It's very easy for me to detach.
Mm-hmm.
Why I think that you don't give a fuck, so it's really never that serious.
Mm-hmm.
Is, it was one instance, because I left the country for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So in that bit that I left, like when I came back,
mm-hmm.
everyone I thought really cared about me and about my friends and everything, didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in that, I was like, because I'm there just so excited to come back and stay to them over Christmas before
yeah.
I go back.
Mm-hmm.
And I come back, no one cares. I'm like just another random person.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I was like, so people actually...
And how long had you been away?
I'd been away for a year.
Oh, and people are not excited to see you?
Nothing.
Why?
Like, zero. So I was like, first of all, guys don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And if you leave a country, like if you leave a space, that's why it was so easy for me to move around, even
mm-hmm.
in terms of schools.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get to a point where people are like, "Ayo, you matter. Like
mm-hmm.
you actually matter. Like I genuinely miss you. It's not banter."
Because
mm-hmm. growing up, I was like, "No one cares."
Yeah.
Hmm?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Sorry.
Mm.
I can talk about emotional trauma as a child. And this one, in terms of, so you see, I felt like my dad used to live in a balloon, like in his own world.
Mm.
And this didn't happen even when I was such a small child. It happened when I was in high school. And my dad realized I was talking to one boy. And let me tell you, he made me feel like I'm an outcast, like I'm abnormal. Like, you know, I expected as a parent to sit with them and tell me, okay, I realize you're growing and there may be feelings for a guy, what, but this and this is what I need you to know. Be careful. Don't do this. Don't, like, be a natural. But now here, he got so pissed. He threw a glass of water to me. He's like, are you a demon? Are you possessed?
What?
I'm like, I'm just, imagine, and I wasn't even meeting this guy. It's just text, like those funny, flirty texts. Like, not even a sexting or anything. Yeah. This one's for babe. I'm just like, guy, I feel like I've committed a crime.
And that's right.
Sometimes they sit down and I'm like, no, that's not the way to do it. It's not.
Do you think you've ever had the talk with your parents? Have you had the talk?
Which talk?
The talk. Does that talk you always get to, like, when you're growing up?
My dad is still living in Denali. He probably thinks I'm still a virgin.
Have you had it with mom? It's not about you being a virgin. It's a talk. Like, the one, oh, hi, so this is sex. Mm-hmm. This is how this happened. You need to be using this. Those things. Have you ever had?
My mom.
You have?
My mom,
you know what my talk was?
Yeah.
Do you understand? Usually keep safe. This one, I kid you not, and we're leaving the house, and we're going, I think I was going for a play or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then she's like, do you drink? And I'm like, yes, I usually have a glass of wine. Yeah, glass of wine with my food.
Mm-hmm.
Which technically wasn't a lie then, because my friends used to, like, the parents used to have a lot of dinners.
Yeah.
So you'd have, like, your red wine, your red meat, your white wine, your white meat, those things. So then she asked, and guys, do you have any guy friends? And I knew what she meant, so I said, yeah. No, that time I didn't have at all, no. It's like, are you keeping safe? I said, yes. That was the only conversation we've ever had.
That's mom.
Yes.
Then.
Mom, how would it ever
then,
be? That's a question we'll unpack later. But when I think about it, wasn't the first one. The first one ever was when I think I was like 10, and I said I have HIV AIDS. Because I'm not good for testing.
Okay.
So, like, I've learned it in school, so I was like, do I have AIDS? Yeah, it's good to know this shit.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so I asked her, do I have HIV AIDS? Yeah. So that was my first, for me, that was my first thing.
Because
I was thinking, I've shared cups with people. I was like, I know, but the first thing I've done is I've not had sex, but I've gone to the doctor, they've used a needle.
Yeah.
What if the doctor forgot and the needle he used? So I was like, is that exposure?
Yeah.
What if someone has taken a spoon? Auntie has shared my spoon with me.
Yeah.
So I was like, do I have the guy? Maybe I have the guy and you've been slipping it in my, you know, in my drink. Yeah, so those are the only two. Because I feel like parents really need to. Don't make it uncomfortable, but there's a way you need to talk.
Yeah, you need to have the talk.
And fathers need to be able not to tell people that, not tell their girls that men are trash, but, what do I keep on saying, but I've been influenced. And also, show them through how they treat their wives and their sisters and their mothers.
Yeah.
So that girls can see through that instead of saying, you know, this is how a man should treat you.
Yeah.
Let me see it.
Let me see it.
From you.
Yeah, be an example. Basically. Yeah. Right. So is it my turn?
I do not know. Whose turn is it?
Me? Okay. Another one. This is not something I've gone through, but it happens. It's happening. This is violence. Violence, maybe you're seeing one of your parents is hitting, you know, I don't say, okay, maybe your dad is hitting your mom, or even your mom is the violent one, or even I feel like there are parents who also batter their children, like, in, like, extremes. So this would cause trauma to the child, definitely, and it would affect probably how they come to relate later in future. That's why you find, like, most people in toxic relationships grew up in a toxic environment, because you kind of feel like this is okay. This is how it is. I mean, if my dad was like this, if my mom was like this, so why not? And that's a thing, and many people are going through it. So, yeah, it's something that needs to be addressed.
Because I feel like, I don't know if it was a joke or a meme or something that I was seeing, and this guy goes like, it's very funny how fathers become such saints when they have a girl child.
Uh-huh.
And a saint just to the girl child.
The girl child, yes.
So they forget that this shorty is going to see you beating up
your wife.
So you teach her like that, you'll be like, so as my father's daughter, I'm treated like a gem. However, when I get married, this will happen and I'm supposed to allow
it. It's okay. You're supposed to just accept it.
Because that's something that guys need to remember, that your wife could be someone's sister. Like, your wife is, sorry, someone's sister. Your wife is someone's daughter. Your wife is someone's mom.
Yes.
So once, and I'm not saying as only in relationships, as a guy, you should know the same thing.
Yeah.
And when it comes to men, to women, the reverse should happen.
Mm-hmm.
Your man is someone's dad, is someone's a son, is someone. So I feel like when we break it down to humanity, it's easier to do better and be better.
Yeah.
Because no one ever does. Because you beat your wife or you beat your husband and forget that your son or your daughter is that. Like, or is going to become that.
And it's mostly because I feel like most people who are violent, they have anger issues. Like, just seek for help. Just go seek for help. If you realize you have an anger issue, just go seek for help.
To add on what you're saying, that's why a lot of men don't have good relationships with their fathers. And it's like in their 30s or 40s, like late 30s to 40s, they look back and they're like, maybe I should just let it go because you're on your way out, so let me make my peace with you before you die.
Yeah.
And shit goes south between us. Nifike heaven, and that's the one reason God is like, peace, bro. You didn't make amends with your dad.
Yeah.
And it's not even that amends of, I want to have a relationship with you. It's that amend of, me, I'm done with the past. I'm done letting the past stay in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I want to live my life free. Mm. And I think of it as even like my friends who have kids. You'll see them being so careful around their kids, even just the way they talk. You know, like in the generation we grew up in, parents were so free with their words. Your parents, you piss off your parents, you're such an idiot. Now you'll see guys being like, just don't do that again, okay?
Yeah.
They're so soft-spoken because they're like, I don't want, people have such a deep, even women, they have such a deep fear of becoming their parents.
Yes.
They're like, what I went through, that's why you hear guys saying, I never want to beat my kids, I want to be the cool parent, like.
Not even beat because of being the cool parent.
No, but it's like, even the cool parent, like, think about it, when you started drinking the first time, were you open about it?
No.
It got to a point where eventually your parents found out you're drinking.
My mom it's different. My mom is very, she lets you, it's easy to talk to her. So with her, it was very, very easy.
Yeah.
My dad now the extreme.
So help us God. And that's that thing also for being intentional with your words. Instead of saying, because I have done an idiotic thing. Don't tell me you are an idiot.
Yes.
Tell me you are being. So that means that it's just the act. You're not punishing me as the person.
Yes.
Like, have you seen this thing that went viral? It was posted, I think, by Citizen, or someone posted it, saying how a lot of parents don't realize, a lot of adults don't realize the effect their words have on kids between the ages primarily of 5 and 12. Something you tell a child,
it will stick.
The child will not consciously remember it, but it will develop them over time. And they even ran an experiment. God, so sorry for that child who the experiment was run on. One child went through a situation where people said things like, you're such an idiot, or you're so stupid. And another kid went into a situation where no matter how much shit they did wrong, people were like, you'll be fine. You know, you made a mistake. Growing up, this kid grew up having a lot of anger and like everything, they kept feeling like they'll never be enough. This other kid grew up knowing,
it's okay.
Even if I fail, there's always another option. Like, always look at the positive outlook.
Yes.
African parents versus...
On that note, I could talk about discipline.
Yeah.
Because in our household, by that I mean just my mother, it was called disciplining, but we were beaten.
Really? Imagine your mom doesn't seem like the kind to...
And, it was, let me tell you, it was for 5 years.
Yeah.
Not as if every day I'm being beaten, but it's until I was five.
Mm-hmm. Will you remember?
Yes. And I think she got to, like, a child's psyche is heavy. Like, even till now, there's a way she'd look at me and I know, Kira, like, keep quiet.
Mm.
Yeah. And now from 5, she now moved into, you've seen what you've done is wrong and get you beaten?
Yes.
To words. So for me, words are such a trigger. If you beat me, even right now, I kid you not, you can beat me to a pulp, it won't hurt me.
Really?
But your words, because I was so used to go to the corner and keep quiet. That is your punishment for you've done this and this and this. Go to the corner, keep quiet. That would drive me absolutely mad.
Really?
Yes. So like those are my, like the punishments are creative. Yeah. Even telling him as well, you're not creative enough. If the only way you can hurt someone is if you're using your hand.
Yeah.
Needs to be more. Like even me, I can hurt you just with words.
Yeah.
But that's also a trauma that I got because it's like even the things I've stole, you're failed, you're such a disappointment. Your child is gonna do the same thing to you. So all those things, all those words I'm being told, all those things. So let me see that. So for me, words, if you tell me something rather than if you beat me, even teachers would know, they wouldn't, or you take away a star from my child. Like those are things that would.
Yeah, words are very damaging for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
I want to say loss. Loss in terms of death. Death, I feel like death can be very traumatizing, especially when you're younger. I don't think I've gone through such traumatic death experiences. Of thank God, I've never lost like anybody so close to me. Like, or maybe they were close because now like Shushu died, but not someone like I was close to. Like I had a close relationship with. I mean, so I didn't. I've never really experienced loss in that extreme manner. But there's one time, there's a death of someone that really affected me. And I don't know why it did, because I never used to talk to this person. It was in high school. So I think when form 2 and this girl was in form 4. And you know, I'd seen her before. She did her papers. She was very smart. She was a prefect. So it's those people, you know, like, these ones are smart. You know, they do well, what. Then later when she finished school, now in form 3, we heard that she had geophytes or something, and she died. And I don't know why that it's affected me. Like, I couldn't even sleep. I don't understand why. Mm-hmm. It's not someone I used to talk to. I think I was just like, she was just here, like, 2 months ago. Like, how? What happened? You know, like, I was just scared. I'm like, God, life is so short. But, yeah. Causes trauma. Death causes trauma, and it's okay to feel scared, feel sad, but now what do you do about it when you're there?
You need to I'm an advocate of therapy.
Yes, therapy is.
And also acknowledge the fact that you can get all get all the financial support and all the social support.
Yeah.
But once you've not talked, like not dug deep into your psyche.
Yeah.
Oh.
You won't really go through it.
Because you can get, like, I can be literally with you here every day and I'm in pain, but I'm not talking about how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing I have my 10 kids I need to take care of, need to pay bills. So you're paying that for me.
Yeah.
And the kids are still, I mean, maybe your husband has now taken a father figure in their life.
Yeah.
But I've not actually sat down to think and be like, okay, this is how I'm feeling, so I'm good.
Yeah.
So just the separation between the actual support, the physical and social, and now the mental one.
That is painful.
Even for kids.
Especially those who lose parents, I can just imagine. I can just imagine.
And you're never supposed to tell kids, never relate death for children to something that's currently happening in life. Like my mom was telling me this, that's one of the reasons she stopped doing children's counseling, because it used to break her. Because she's like, that shit is traumatic. Hearing like why a lot of kids have insomnia, it's not because they genuinely have insomnia, it's because when you're a 6-year-old kid and your grandma passes away, your parents are like, you won't understand the concept of death, so she's sleeping. So a kid will now not want to go to sleep because I don't want to sleep because I won't wake up. So it starts telling you in your head, and then as you grow older, it develops into insomnia, because every time you go to bed, you're like, I don't want to not wake up.
Oh no.
Or you tell someone, it was time. A kid, you don't tell a kid something like it was their time.
Because for them, it's literal.
They'll start getting scared of time. Like, you tell a kid, ukunje, it's your time. You don't know how it'll affect them.
Yeah.
You're supposed to find ways to break it down for children, not just at
yeah. Like there's someone I know who, when the husband passed, put the kids in therapy immediately. So individual therapy for the two kids, and now group family therapy.
Yeah.
So everyone is going. So like now, I am going for therapy. Mm-hmm. Me, mm-hmm. My two kids are going for therapy mm-hmm. individually, mm-hmm. and the three of us have therapy together.
Wow.
So that everyone has been catered for, and as a family also catered for.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Because people think that a 2-year-old doesn't need that. They need, they'll draw it. Like, they'll, most of the times when you are talking to kids, you can't not see them, like, they're doing something like this.
Yeah.
You can just give them paper and just ask them, how are you?
Yeah.
So you find out this, whatever they're doing is actually
expressing themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's true.
A lot of children don't know how to express themselves with words. But that's why, like, you find counselors have things like play therapy.
Yeah.
Like, give them toys and watch how they play with them. It can tell you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if, for example, this is stuff I've learned from my mom. Like, if a kid has lost their parents, like a dad, for example, you see them not picking up a meal toy, they won't. Like, if you give them toys and you give them like 5 Barbie dolls and whatever, and cars and like a Ken doll, they won't touch the Ken doll. Because their brain has disassociated with that. They don't want it. Because for them, it's trauma. Like, or you see them pick it up, play with it for a few seconds, and then put it like on the side by itself. Like, you're gone.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Another one I would say is divorce, separation. So that really affects, like, there are so many people or other kids who are affected by, especially if it's a nasty separation, and they could see the whole, like, I'm losing this parent, and now, like, you're no longer living with your dad and mom on the same roof, you're wondering what's happening. And you know, some parents have this thing where they don't explain to their kids what's happening, so they lie to you, daddy is coming back, or mommy is coming back, so you're living in hope, and then you're sad that this promise is never coming to pass. I mean, it's coming to pass one weekend, then it appears again for another week, and you're wondering what's going on.
And the instability as well.
Yeah.
Children do need to have that stable and constant.
Yeah.
And not to talk like, because things can happen, so not to talk badly on engaged single parents, whatever. But it's very important to have the two. Like, to have two parents in the household.
Yeah.
Even just for support.
Yeah.
Let alone just in terms of what society says.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Because it really does matter.
Yeah.
Because he talks about suppressing feelings, and I was saying as a trauma, that's being told why you're crying. Stop crying. You remember?
Yeah.
Why are you crying? Stop crying. That you're being told to suppress your feelings.
Yes.
Or why are you not stuck? So why are you crying?
Yes.
Why are you not?
So sometimes you're Malaysia. So sometimes,
yeah. I don't even think that one was as bad as, like, I think for people who are beaten, when your parents used to beat you and they tell you stop crying, and they beat you again, and like now you're not crying. So you're like, don't express my feelings. Then again, why am I not expressing?
Because African parents have this thing, they beat you. And then, of course, you've beaten me, I'm sad, I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
Then they're asking you, so I'm like, I don't want to talk.
And they don't know how to come and apologize to you.
They
so
can't.
They bring you food. No, small things.
They bring you food, they take you places you like.
Food. Yeah, it was food. Oh, by the way, we're going to school. So you're upset. So by the time you're coming back, like, I feel like when it comes to that suppressing feelings, what it's done to me as a person is, and I hate this trait, I'm like a kid.
Yeah.
Every day, I could be so mad at you. Mad, isn't it? Like, you know, I feel like I want to kill you. Okay, but exaggerate what you get.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, imagine a reset. See how babies are.
Okay, even me, I don't know how to hold a grudge.
Not to hold, my brain resets, as in I forget. Completely.
Okay, well, I will forget.
Like, I'll forget. I'll know you made me mad, but I'll be like, a child. Do you know how a child resets?
Yeah.
Like, even though you beat a child today, tomorrow they'll come back to you.
Yeah.
That's how I am.
Oh.
So it's a good and a bad thing. That means that it's easy for me to forgive you, but if someone knows that, they can also use it to their advantage.
Yeah. Because
I forget it completely. Like, the next day I wake up like a new human being.
I'm easy to let go of stuff. Like, if you offend me, but I won't forget.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Imagine I let go.
just won't forget, which makes a lot
of sense. Yeah, but I feel like for you, as much as you let it go and you won't forget, you'll see it in your eyes. Your eyes tell a lot.
Like if I'm pissed at that moment.
Not even pissed. Yeah. Someone will come and you'll smile, but the eyes, what your eyes are saying. Macho zako. Ah, la, 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 la.
You'd tell like there was something. Really? You think so?
Nimekusoma ka kitabu ya Pictionary.
Oh my god. Sioni. Anyway, I would say another one is accidents. Like if you went through an accident or a serious injury, probably, I don't know, you broke a bone. Or you went through like...
Have you broken a bone?
No, but Devi has broken a bone.
Really?
Okay, I hated that guy, that boy who broke his bone. I was looking at him, I think they were playing. You know, it was just like it wasn't intentional.
Okay.
But me, my brain registered this boy
wants to kill my brother.
Yes, he broke my brother's limb. So we have a problem.
Aliko na trauma, don't you? Saying that dog is trauma.
Have a problem. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm imagining like especially accidents. Maybe you're hospitalized, and you know you might be scared of getting into a car. It's just. A memory like that's still there,
Which is funny for me. Like to be very honest, my experiences are almost they're low key. Like I could have died, but it was very exciting because I was waiting to see. I know it sounds a bit morbid, but I was waiting to see the lights because I'm like, okay, I'm in pain. I'm like, oh, so when guys are actually dying, they're in pain, but they just want the pain to end. So that's why sometimes they just let go.
Oh,
so that's it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting to be.
Have you ever been in an accident?
An accident? Accident?
Yeah,
quite a few. Was that a car? Quite a few. Like they could have gone very bad.
Ah.
Yeah. Even the car went like this. Like it's. Yeah, but that's fine. The car is not banged up. I don't think. I don't know. Maybe I don't register it. But I think what maybe it did is unstable speed. Like if you speed fast and jerk a bit, even if it's for a microsecond, I'll feel it. So I know here, I'm going to die. So usually at that juncture, I tell God, Lord, Father, if this is going to end up in an accident, I'm not surviving this shit. Because at those high speeds, you're like...
Yeah.
So you have to be a very stable driver.
Yes.
Because anytime you jerk...
Yes.
I'm sure even like for him, he noticed like I'd hold on to something because I'm like, he wants to kill me.
We had to go on a notice.
Oh, the last time we went to pick Nani.
Yeah, because he kept on jerking and I was like, I am going to die.
But you're not such a bad classmate.
So I'm saying those traumas, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like maybe I didn't notice, but now that you say it.
Yes.
Ah, wait, and pause. You're going to shit on the way. He's such a fan of skin. Not such a bad driver, so you're going to bad tendencies.
Yeah,
you're not such a bad driver. Bro, you're going to be here. You're trauma, Sasa.
Okay, so the last one is disasters. So this one, it's not like I'm not going
like a natural disaster.
Yeah, or like things like
an earthquake.
Natural, yes, or things like
that's interesting.
Like drought, famine, or things like post-election violence. I don't know if you can call that a disaster.
Ooh, I had trauma there.
Yes, you see, like those are things like people get trauma from that. You have to relocate. You're seeing your property being burnt down. You know, like, those are things that would cause trauma in somebody.
Not that you said that. You see, that time I was telling you, and I came to say it to people, and they didn't care. That was during the elections. Okay, and just before... So, obviously, we're going to go back, but I think it was just for the month.
Yeah.
And I was in Bombolulu. Bombolulu is inside... I think it was inside... The estate, the particular estate was inside like a slum. So it's pretty, like this, the estate, but it's inside a slum.
Yes.
So now my parents have left me there for a bit. So they're coming back to pick me. So as we leave the gate like this, the guys with machetes.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're leaving and we're like, dad that time is driving against them. And then some guy stops and he's like, I'm renda up, nataka kufa. So at that juncture, my mom told me, lie down flat.
What?
She didn't want me to see. So lie down flat. And I think, luckily, because she absolutely refused me to see anything. So when we, luckily we got a convoy, because we were driving, we got a convoy on the highway.
Where were you guys going to?
Coming back to Nairobi, so we could leave the country again.
Okay.
Because we're just there for the month.
Okay.
Yeah. So as we were driving, we got to the highway, luckily there were some UN guys going to Nairobi. So we entered the convoy somehow. That experience triggered my association with elections.
Mm.
So every time I see whatever elections in Kenya, I know there's going to be violence. Come rain, come sunshine.
Yeah.
And every election since then, we've not been in the country.
Oh yeah.
Mm. I think it's only this one that we've been in the country, and even this one, I thought fishermen. Because of that trauma. Because I'm just like, every election is just going to be bad.
There's violence. It's sad, really. But that period really affected people, really. So, that I'm done with my points on traumas. Maybe if you have...
I feel like it's something that people are visiting anyway.
Yes, because it's something that happened. So, basically, how do we deal with traumas now?
I feel like the first step is to identify that you do have the trauma.
Yes, accept,
and talk about it. You don't necessarily need to, because I know therapy can be anything. Therapy could be this.
Yes.
Therapy could be a physical person, like going to a psychiatrist
or
a counselor, depending on what you feel.
Yes.
Therapy could be your best friend. Therapy could be your mom. Mm-hmm. So whatever works for you, so talk about it.
Yes.
If you feel like it's something that's deeply seated that needs actual professional help, then you can do that as well.
Seek the help. If you can't seek the help, don't isolate yourself. That's the worst thing you can do. Because now you'll start feeling bad for yourself, feeling different, feeling, you know, isolated or secluded. Then you guys take initiative of your health. Nowadays there are so many therapists and therapy sessions that are happening
online for free.
There are some that are free. If you have to invest, it's an investment. Therapy is like you paying for your gym membership. Just do it. It will help you. You'll be in a better space mentally, and that will help you in all your aspects, in all other aspects in life. And be very patient with yourself. Growth doesn't happen overnight. You don't get over things overnight. Some things take longer for you to get over them. Some things may take a short period of time, but please be patient with yourself. You're only human.
And forgive yourself.
Yes.
Don't coddle yourself. Forgive yourself. And be gentle. So every time, this thing that I've started, I think I saw it on Jay Take a Pic story. Take a picture of yourself as a child. Put it on your mirror.
Yeah.
Every day remind yourself to be kind to that child.
To that child.
Because that child is still you. So if you do those practices, just to remind thyself, be kind to thyself. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Love yourself. Yeah. Tell yourself you're beautiful. Yeah. So those are I felt like I needed to, when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is a very easy way to remind myself.
Yeah.
So, and since it's at my mirror, and you know we like to look at ourselves.
Yeah.
Every time I go there, and now I'm feeling sad, I'm like, okay, be
kind to this child.
Yeah. Baby Jojo is feeling sad. So what
that's
do we
a
need
good
to
way
do?
To look at it.
It's
a very nice way to look at it.
Mm.
Yeah, so that is that episode. Thank you so much for watching. Please subscribe,
like,
share,
follow,
and what else do people do? Comment. Tell us, talk to us if you have childhood traumas. If you need help getting therapists, you can check Lydia KM's highlights. I think she has a list of, you know, therapy contacts.
You can even DM us as well, because
yes.
we also know a couple of people.
Yes.
Mm.
So comment, interact with us, tell us about your experiences. And yes, we are happy to be here.
The BJ Friends.
Mwah.